All right. Well, good morning, church. I'm going to try to get through this whole message this morning without getting super emotional. I was getting emotional just driving out here knowing that it's the last time. And I thought I was good when I walked in, and then I walked back to Dot in the sound booth. And as soon as she saw me, she started tearing up a little bit. And so it's been a really heavy week for me, obviously, last chapel at Ozark. And just realizing that the people that I spent the last 3.5 years of my life with, doing life with, and sharing stories with, not going to be with them every day anymore. And I was reflecting on that Friday, walking to my last class, and the professor and I had a conversation afterwards, and he's like, "Man, I'm proud of you, but savor this moment, because it's really the last time that you'll get to experience this." And so, yeah, we're gonna try to hold it together. We'll work through the message this morning, and then we get to celebrate. We get to have a feast and get to enjoy company for the last time. And so, just to give you guys kind of a timeline, if you want to be praying for me for what's next, finish my last final this coming week. The last one's on Wednesday, and then I'll go home for about 2 or 3 weeks with my family. And then somewhere in that first week of January, it's kind of weather permitting, when I move out to Colorado, but it'll be before the 5th because I'm preaching on the 8th out there. So that'll be my first official Sunday out there. So if you want to pray for something for me, pray for finals. I'm stressed because Greg can tell you how hectic the last week of Ozark can be. And then pray for the transition as I move across the country. But last week we talked about what I had learned at Ozark, and we talked about the significance of community and how community guides and shapes you, and it's a critical aspect of the Christian life. Really, I preached that message, and I reflected on it for the better part of this last week, and as I was going through classes and going to my last chapel and being there with my friends and just seeing seniors that are graduating with tears just streaming down their eyes, I realized how important that community really is and how much I'll miss it as I go. And we just came to this conclusion last week that community is a critical aspect of the Christian life. And I told you last week that this week we were gonna talk about things that you guys taught me here at Mansfield Christian Church. The last 3.5 years have been a journey. I know when I was first getting up here preaching 15-minute sermons that I've listened back to, and I know they're not good no matter what you guys have told me and encouraged me. I know I've grown a lot over the last 3.5 years. But I've learned something, and you guys have taught me this, and the key theme for this message will be this. And if you want to take something with you, take this, that a heart that is for Jesus is totally surrendered to Jesus. A heart that is for Jesus is totally surrendered for Jesus. As we prepare to head into the message, I was kind of thinking about how to preach this, and I'm sure that as I was thinking about this, I was like, man, of all the uncomfortable things that I could talk about this week, like if I were to take a poll of pastors from the pulpit of things that they don't want to touch, that they go, I don't know, like political issues, sex, dating, offering or giving, and then right there at the bottom of the list, and I'm sure maybe Rick or Greg can attest to this, probably pride is right there, right? That's something that I struggle with, and I'm sure all of us struggle with at some point in our lives, and so it's uncomfortable because as a pastor, I love to talk about things that I've triumphed over, but I don't really like to talk about the things that I've struggled with or that I'm currently struggling with. It makes me uncomfortable. It's sad because if we survey Scripture, we would realize that the Bible has a lot to say about the issue of pride. It has a lot to teach us. And it's disheartening because the truth is that if we are to follow God, the scriptures are there to guide us in doing so. If our intentions of this life is to walk with God, walk with Jesus, then the scriptures are there to guide us in that journey. And therefore, if pride is something important enough to be covered in scripture as much as it is, we should be willing to talk about it from the pulpit in our churches today. And I think if we fail to do so, we cannot fully embody the gospel because we don't fully understand or know what it says. And so as we move into our text this morning, we need to get a little background, right? And so this is in Luke, and it's right before Jesus is about to start the journey to Jerusalem. He's the last moments of teaching his disciples before he gets on his journey to be crucified. This is important, and it's a parable. And so I don't know if you guys know this, but a parable is really a story with a point. I don't know if you realize that. When you study the scriptures, when you read a parable, you should be asking, what is the point? I know we've all heard stories, and there's some stories that my aunts and uncles that are old-timers back at the farm that'll tell me, and I'm constantly wondering, what is the point? What is the lesson they're trying to teach me? And so when you approach a parable in the text, this is the same exact question you should be asking. What's the point? And the point Jesus is getting at here is that a heart that is for Jesus is totally surrendered to Jesus. That's the point Jesus is trying to prove with this parable. And so let's jump into the text this morning and see if we can see that as we read here. And in the hearing of all this, he said to his disciples, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love greeting in the marketplaces, and the best seats in the synagogues, and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she has out of her poverty put in all she had to live on." See, what's true for the scribes is true today, that pride often gets in the way of our total surrender towards God. And pride, I think, can really be broken down into two stages, two effects that it has on us as humans. And the first is that it elevates us. Pride elevates us to a place that we shouldn't be. See, it makes us feel better than we are. See, what Jesus does when we surrender our heart is our whole heart is now devoted to him. But when pride enters our heart, we take a portion of what's intended for him and we say, "You're not good enough to fulfill this, and this is me. I'm the only one that can fulfill this." And we shut off a whole piece of ourselves that God never intended for us to control. It was really for him the whole time. And see, the other effect that pride has on us is it begins to put others down. See, it elevates us and puts others down. It lowers others' values in our lives. And this is contrary to the gospel message where every person is created equally in the image of God. Genesis tells us that. Man and woman, he created them in his image and of his likeness. And therefore, if we are all created equally, no person can be above another. And see, pride is what's being shown by the Pharisees. They have pride in the authority they feel they have in teaching the law. And this pride has led to several factors, and Jesus is really pointing these out through this parable, through this story. He says to wear long robes. Now, something in the ancient Near East, these long robes would have been a status symbol. They would have meant that you were wealthy, because these robes would have been made out of higher quality linens, and those linens were really expensive. Oftentimes, these robes would have been a dyed linen, and dye is really expensive in the ancient Near East. It's not some factory in China that's cranking out these colored robes every thousands of them an hour. This is a really expensive thing, and so it elevates them. It makes them feel better than the congregation that they're serving, better than the people that they're teaching. See, pride can creep in even when you're trying to teach the Word of God. Because of their status, because of where they've elevated themselves, they now get special greetings and places that they go. And they get special seats in the synagogues and at feasts. See, they begin to elevate themselves above the people that they're serving. A person struggling with pride, the pride is oftentimes fueled by the world. It can look a lot of different ways in our lives. Maybe a job title, a car you drive. These symbols created by men attempt to elevate us above the image God has made us in. And what we must come to grips with is that we can never surpass the status that God has made us to fill. Our whole obligation is to wholeheartedly serve our God and to fulfill the role that He has given us. That's the call of the Christian life. That's the call of God on our lives. And see, what happens when we allow pride to elevate our status above the place that God called us to be, in turn, we reject the gospel and we actually begin to value ourselves more than we value Jesus. We say that this section of my heart that God intended for Jesus to fill and guide us, He can no longer fill that. He's not worthy to fill that section, and so I must fill it myself. And that's contrary, completely backwards from what the gospel tells us. And you guys have shown this to me over and over again. When I get up here and I give a bad message and you encourage me to come back and to lead again next week, or sometimes when I'm feeling like, man, that was a really good message, and somebody will encourage me and say, well, you know, you kind of stumbled through that one a little bit, and it's not a bad thing to challenge people a little bit. Sometimes it's encouraging just to have a check on your heart to hear that maybe you are developing that pride just a little bit. And Jesus tells us that this is exactly what the Pharisees are doing when they misuse the widow's funds. Did you catch that? The Pharisees are allowing pride to sweep into their lives, and they're beginning to misuse and mistreat the people that they're supposed to be serving. See, in ancient culture, the church was supposed to take care of widows. They didn't. Widows in the ancient culture, in the ancient Jewish tradition, couldn't take care of themselves. They weren't allowed to work. They were not allowed to provide for themselves. And so the church, the community's responsibility, was to step up and care for these people. And evidently, the leaders are misusing the funds that the church is giving to care for these people to fund themselves, to gain financial status, and to buy these fancy robes that they're wearing. And they're making long prayers and leading people astray. And Jesus' response is, they will answer for this because God seeks mercy. That God is not a God of pride, but a God of mercy. And they'll answer for this. But then Luke suddenly shifts his perspective. Jesus shifts his perspectives to teach us how to live from the right heart posture, from the heart posture that truly is seeking God. We go from people abusing widows to the image of a faithful widow. Did you guys catch it? In contrast to the Pharisees who are giving much, she's giving little, but it's all she has. It says 2 copper coins is what she gave. And it's important to understand the structure of the money, to understand how much money she's actually giving. And so in the ancient world, it would have went gold and then silver and then copper. And a commentator I was reading said this, that each one of these copper coins would have been worth 1/100th of a denarius. And that would have been equal, they estimate, about 5 minutes of labor at minimum wage in a day. So it's evident she's not giving much. But we know because she doesn't have much. But she's giving what she has. But see, what Jesus is pointing out is that the woman is not looking for credit for what she has given. She's not walking around in a fancy robe screaming, "Look at me," or expecting fancy seating in the section of the church or a special place in the synagogue. She is just attempting to humbly stand before and serve God. And there is the example Jesus says we are to follow. See, others were giving out of excess. The widow gives out of what little she has. And in reality, she's giving out of what others have given her so she can survive. And see, the truth is that if your heart is filled with pride, there's no room for Jesus. And without Jesus, we're going to be led to destruction. That's the gospel message, that Jesus came and paid it all. And when Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me, this parable should come to mind. What does it mean to pick up your cross, to set down your pride and follow Jesus? See, when Jesus goes to the cross, I can't imagine the amount of, if I was going to be doing it, the amount of pride I would have for the action I would be doing to save other people. And yet Jesus did it out of love and out of care. So the question becomes, what do we do to emulate Jesus? How do we live our lives in a way that's not swallowed up by pride, but rather walking in humility to honor our God? And the first thing we must do in an attempt to do so is surrender everything that we receive from God to God. We have to understand that what we receive is not ours. It's simply a gift from God, and there's expectations on those gifts, that we are generous and willing with the talents and the gifts that we have to give to others, to help others succeed. And it isn't bad to be wise with your finances, and God blesses us and puts us in those elevated places where we maybe have more money than others. But the question is, do we recognize God as doing that, as elevating us in that moment to bless us with the opportunity to bless others, Or are we thinking it was because of our own power? Because I worked hard enough to get that promotion, now I deserve that paycheck. Or did God bless you with the talents for your supervisor to recognize the things that you can do and decided to promote you? That's the question you have to ask yourselves and you need to wrestle with. And I've seen this from this church firsthand. Many of you all will probably remember about 2.5 years ago, rather, I had that little blue Toyota car, and it wasn't the nicest car in the world, but it served a purpose. It got me to church. One day, it decided to kind of kick the bucket, as they say, and it was done. And I was kind of lost at that moment. I really had no idea what I was going to do. I had no purpose. No, how am I going to get another car? And without even asking, I had some money saved up, so I was able to kind of ease my way. I would eventually have been able to purchase a car, but without even asking, it was some people from this church, on behalf of the church, that had made a phone call to me and said, "Hey, Chris, we want to help you get a new car. We want to help you with the down payment on your new car so that you can continue to serve this congregation." And at that moment, I realized just what Wayne said this morning, that a pastor and a congregation is a two-way blessing, that as I bless you, you bless me, that in reality, no one is elevated above the other. And I can tell you that the car I drive today, I drive it largely because of the help that this church gave me to be able to purchase that I had to walk humbly in that moment and just say thank you. And I can't thank you guys enough for that. And so my prayer over this church is this, and we'll close here this morning, and I'm excited to fellowship with you guys and have dinner with you guys. My prayer is this, that you guys surrender everything to Jesus, because Jesus is the only way to the Father. And that you guys realize that elevating yourself puts you in a path where you can't actually surrender. And because Jesus, when we understand that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the life, that it causes us to surrender everything. And I pray that this congregation continues to grow and to strengthen long after I'm gone, and that I can come back and enjoy my presence with you guys, and eventually one day I'll see each and every one of you in heaven, that we can rejoice and celebrate. And just remember this, that a heart that is for Jesus is totally surrendered to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to share your word, for the mercy and the grace that you show us, for the many blessings that you put on our lives, the opportunities that you give us to walk humbly and stand before you. We're thankful for your son, for the sacrifice that he made, that he was willing to humble himself to the point of death, even death on a cross, so that we could be in right relationship with you. Bless our time together this afternoon. Encourage us in our fellowship and help us just continue to walk every day and look more like you. It's in your name I pray. Amen.